You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ermilla, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you're listening to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. On Saturday night, game six of a seven-game road trip, Miami travels to Los Angeles to take on their opponent from the NBA Finals last season, the Los Angeles Lakers. And they came away with a 96-94 victory. They are now 3-3 on the road trip. A great game. Their best game of the season, in my opinion. Fantastic win over the Lakers. Great all-around effort. They played great defense. They were playing incredibly well on offense. They had key stops at key moments. They bounced back after losing a lead. Great performances from stars and role players alike. All-around fantastic effort. No complaints on my end. I watched that game. And first of all, let me just offer also, if you heard my most recent podcast, you knew that I wasn't going to be able to recap Saturday night's game because of a anniversary I had to participate in. So was able to still celebrate with my wife and enjoy a victory in the process. So good times to be had by all. Fantastic Saturday night. What can I say? This is great. I didn't know what to make of the game itself. Obviously, taking on the Lakers, who are without two starters in Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, something I'll talk about a little bit later in the next segment, because let me tell you, that national perspective on what Miami was able to accomplish on Saturday night didn't go over so well with the folks at ESPN, and that's got me pretty pissed off. But I'll touch on that later. As far as Miami going in there, yes, they had come up with a big victory the game before. Now they were looking to try and get back on track. Still looking for an identity, I think, but Saturday night helped a lot. Every win, as Jimmy Butler said, is important. Every win is necessary. He's absolutely right, but it's also great to be able to do it against a deep team in Los Angeles, missing a couple players, so is Miami, and still find a way to knock off LeBron James on a road trip. Like that's a huge thing. Miami did a fantastic job. They were able to build a double-digit lead earlier in the game. Then that lead got cut down. Actually, when LeBron was out of the game, that was mostly when they were able to chip away at it. They played some really inspired defense and were able to actually retake the lead, 66-63 at one point. It was all tied up at 63, and then the Lakers hit a three-pointer, and Miami bounced back. And to me, that was a turning point there. And I want to look at the two stars there. One, LeBron James on the Lakers side. And, of course, Jimmy Butler on Miami's side of things. Because the responses at that key moment, it was a pivotal point for both teams. It seemed like the Lakers had all the momentum. And then LeBron had one play there where he thought he got fouled. Now, it happened a lot, you know, during that game where he was complaining for a foul call. He didn't get it. Didn't go down on defense. Conversely, Miami, Jimmy got called for a foul on the other end, didn't complain about it, didn't say anything, just put his head down, went to work the way he always does. And look, if there's a disparity there between the two, I think that's a big part of it, is that Jimmy does not try to work the referees for foul calls like that. I rarely see him complain about a foul call. And again, that was the key response for me, like watching Jimmy just say, you know what, I'm going to get to work. We gave up that lead. Screw it. I'm going to go ahead, do what I can. He bullied his way to the rim on the next possession, got some foul calls, made the right assist to a wide-open shooter. Miami was able to build up a 10-point lead again. And while, again, that lead was chipped away, and Miami did get lucky on the final possession of the game where, for some reason, Andre Iguodala, up 96-94, inbounded the ball cross-court to Jimmy Butler. Alex Caruso, who I will talk about later, was covering Iguodala in the inbounds play, wind up sagging off of him, noticing where the ball was being thrown into all the way across court. Caruso helped out on Jimmy Butler to cover him. LeBron James, who was on Jimmy Butler, was able to poke the ball away, force a steal. Caruso brings the ball up, gives it back to LeBron. LeBron gives it back to Caruso after seeing a double team there. And then Caruso, guarded by Jimmy Butler on a switch, Andre Iguodala has to come in off the paint. Caruso got a pretty wide open look. He just missed it at the rim. So they had a chance to win the game. Maybe the outcome's a little different. Maybe the response is a little different from Heat fans. But Miami got the play they needed. It worked out pretty well. Yeah, look, I could poke holes in the fact that they gave up the big leads, not once but twice. But the Lakers are a very good team, and I feel like we should probably focus more on the positives. And to that point, Jimmy Butler had a fantastic game. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Bam Adebayo, also a fantastic game. 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Great defense, specifically on LeBron James. And that was a huge factor early on. Like, LeBron himself did struggle. 7 of 21, 33% from the field. And a lot of that due to overall team defense, but Bam specifically guarding him in the first half. It was just, for an MVP candidate player like LeBron, it was amazing to see him, if not shut down, hindered almost completely by Bam Adebayo. So that was a fantastic factor in the game. But while Jimmy and Bam played their key roles, as they always do, it was some of the role players, to me, that really stood out in Saturday's win. Kendrick Nunn, I think, the leading scorer in the game. What can you say about him? 27 points, 5 of 6 shooting from three-point range, 10 of 14 overall. Great game from him. Really looked offensively like he was incredibly locked in. Just like his perspective, like the way he was comfortably shooting the ball, pulling up with no hesitation. It seems impossible to believe that this is a player that we saw a few months ago in the Orlando bubble. I don't know if he keeps his starting job. I would assume so. Even when Goran Dragic comes back, I think that's likely to happen. My feeling is that he's just been phenomenal. I mean, what can you say about Kendrick's performance? Like, he was shooting well. Great night for him. Played solid defensively. I think he had some great effort there. Maybe he made some mistakes here and there, but overall, offensively, just looked fluid. 10 of 14 overall. I mean, aggressive with his shot, but making those shots. The statistics are out there now. He's been shooting incredibly well from three-point range, somewhere around almost 50% over the last few games this month since he's been part of the starting lineup. And he looks really comfortable. He's putting in the work. And I think that's a huge testament to him not giving up hope. And look, that's a pretty common story by now that when it comes to Kendrick, you never really can read him. He never puts his head down. He just kind of just – he's very hard. He has a very good poker face in terms of whether or not he's out of the lineup or not. He just isn't – he seems to be very consistent in his approach to the game. And somehow, he looked like a very bad player over the last couple of months. Maybe it was COVID related. I never really got that sense because there were other glaring holes there that are still in existence. But offensively, at least, this looks like the version of the player that we got early last season when he was playing so well. Now, Kelly Olynyk, a team high plus 14. And a lot of that because he was just making right plays. Like, he seemed to be everywhere he needed to be in 29 minutes of action. Didn't really, knock out the box score by any stretch, 4 points in total, but had some really nice passes. He had a great chemistry with Bam Adebayo. There's still value to Kelly Olynyk there. Had some nice defensive plays, too, where he wound up stealing the ball from Alex Caruso, and I think even got a block, I want to say on LeBron or somebody, but I can't recall exactly who it was, but just nice overall play from him. And Kelly is much maligned from Heat fans. I totally get it. I know why there are concerns there. There's the inconsistency, which I've been, long pointing out before anybody had any other issues with Kelly Olynyk. But his play on Saturday was fantastic. He was a big part of why Miami was able to win. And Duncan Robinson, I want to give Duncan a shout out because even though, again, he struggled from three-point range, just 1 of 5 overall from beyond the arc, 3 of 8 from in total, did finish with 11 points. Seemed like he was trying to do other things. 10 rebounds. So maybe they got on him for having that kind of weird stat line where he wasn't really making an impact other than because of his shooting. But he also had some nice off-ball action that they really were – I think they're trying to do things differently with Duncan to get him easier looks at the rim. And there was one play in particular there that I think was just phenomenal. With about 7 minutes and 39 seconds left in the first quarter, he starts off setting a screen for Jimmy Butler, who has the ball in his hand. Butler doesn't use it, so Duncan cuts back to the top of the key, then darts to the right baseline corner. And he goes in between Octavius Caldwell-Pope and Kendrick Nunn, who he's guarding Nunn at this point in time. So he goes between the defender and Nunn, kind of using Caldwell-Pope as another screener for him. And then Duncan is being covered by Kyle Kuzma at this point, Duncan fakes as if he's going towards Jimmy, starts heading there, and then loses Kuzma completely, darts back towards the rim, and Jimmy finds him with a perfect pass. It looks incredible. It looks like he's going to use the dribble handoff from Bam, who was to Jimmy's left, but instead he just winds up darting back. Everybody was expecting this play where he's curling around the ball handler or somebody like Bam who was next to the ball handler in that case. And that's always been a staple of Miami's offense for Duncan. Instead, he winds up cutting to the hoop. Fantastic play. Did something else later on in the game in the second quarter where he uses a screen and rescreen action. I think Jeff Van Gundy actually wound up pointing it out, wound up leading to a big score there. And just great overall offense. Like I feel like we're starting to see Eric Spoelstra use Duncan a little differently because he's just obviously he's being targeted, he's being limited there. You're pressuring him beyond the perimeter. You're trying to get him to look uncomfortable when he has the ball in his hands, and so you have to try and get different ways to free him open. And I think that was a big part of it. So, what can I say? Fantastic overall game from Miami. Just a big win. And yes, the Lakers were missing key players. Guess what? So was Miami. But that didn't stop ESPN from, let's just say I got a little salty about national media outlets' coverage of the game, and I'll talk about next on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest news, rumors, and more. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time update odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And remember to use that promo code LOCKEDON. More of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. The headline over at ESPN.com, Heat hold off depleted Lakers 96-94 in the NBA Finals rematch. What a bullshit headline. I cannot believe that that's the big takeaway there. Not fantastic efforts from Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, etc. Heat hold off depleted Lakers. Now, maybe there's some sense of that given that final play where Caruso, had he knocked down that shot, would have won it for the Lakers, let's be honest. It was a three-pointer there. I think he had both feet beyond the line. Didn't matter because he missed the shot. And I will say for Caruso, man, I know the coverage of him makes it very difficult. And Roe Nodkarnia of Sports Illustrated wrote a fantastic feature on him, which you should totally check out. But I do not like watching that guy play, throwing up his hands, constantly campaigning for a foul, getting a technical, well-earned one, when he coughed the ball up after running directly into Kelly Olynyk, who wound up poking the ball free and forcing a fast-break transition play, you know. And he wound up dragging his ass on defense, and when he came back, he just kept jawing at the referees and got a well-deserved technical. So I don't like Caruso. I know he's beloved by Lakers fans for whatever reason, because he's balding, because he's white. I mean, because he works hard, I guess, all of the above. More of that gritty, everyman kind of player that white fans tend to gravitate so much towards. But that's a whole other conversation for a whole other podcast. But ESPN's coverage of that headline is just ridiculous. Like, to mention, yes, Anthony Davis, fantastic player, top five NBA player, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, we know he's impactful. But the Lakers know how to win pretty well without him. They have LeBron James. They have Marc Gasol. They have Montrezl Harrell. They have Kyle Kuzma, who wound up burning us more than any other Lakers player. It's not like they have a bad roster or anything. It's actually a pretty well-stocked one. And they're still on the path to the NBA Finals. I'm so sick of the coverage. And the Lakers, and specifically, like, there's just this incredible sense of entitlement that is so frustrating. And I hate the way they talk about the Lakers, and especially when they talk about Miami this way. Like, yeah, the Lakers may be depleted because they're missing two starters. Well, guess what? So is the Heat. Not only did they miss, Avery Bradley, their best defender on the perimeter, perhaps, or at least a key defender on the perimeter, Goran Dragic, perhaps their best scorer, but they also wound up missing Tyler Herro for more than half the game. He wound up getting a hip injury in the second quarter and wound up only playing 14 minutes of play. Miami might have been able to hold on to that lead and not squander it in the second half if Tyler had been able to come out there and continue lighting up the Lakers' defense as well as he had been. So missing three key players. They're not depleted, though. They're just kind of hanging on there somewhere in the shadow of the Lakers' incredible glaring, glowing light. It's just the Kobe conversation over the last year and a half and the Lakers going all the way to the finals and like the perceived underdog nature of this team that has LeBron James and Anthony Davis is unbelievable to me. And then again, even today, depleted Lakers. I can't get past it. It's frustrating to me. Don't like the way that's shown there. They just certainly never made that a point when Miami lost two starters in Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo in the NBA Finals. And I can't help but maintain, and I'll bring it up again, you know what? To hell with it. The Heat would have totally beaten the Lakers with Bam and Goran if they had been healthy. I'll say it again. I'll say it a million times. I will go to my grave believing that. In fact, that you can etch that onto my tombstone right now. Heat over Lakers, 2020. Always. Heat in six. I had it from the beginning. Still believe it. I think they would have been able to knock them off in six games. I mean, maybe they would have needed those transcendent performances from Jimmy Butler, but they got them anyway. And if they had had Goran and Bam there to guard Anthony Davis, he wouldn't have gone off the way he did. I think it would have been a huge difference maker. This Lakers coverage minimizes what opponents do against them. Like, they're not infallible. They have issues, you know, and yes, they're missing key players, but it's not like they can't be beaten. And yeah, Miami, moreover, that flips the conversation there. It's like, who cares about the weaknesses or the issues affecting the Lakers? Miami played a really damn good game. They got some great performances from the whole roster, basically. So focus on what Miami did. And rather than talking about what the Lakers couldn't do or what the Lakers are going through, poor Lakers. Let's all pour one out for the Los Angeles Lakers, who just won a championship. But I will say this, so just as an aside, thinking about this and talking right now, I hate all the Mickey Mouse talk or Le Mickey, as I've seen LeBron referred to on Twitter. I know it's Twitter, and Twitter people are Twitter. Anybody talking about the Orlando bubble in those terms is a moron, because what the Orlando bubble did was much more intense, much more pressure on any team than any time in NBA history. Like, that is not – if there's an asterisk attached to that bubble – it's because the conditions were so much more difficult than any other circumstances. Like, being able to travel or stay at home, it made the level of competition so much greater. You go back to what the level of basketball being played in the bubble was phenomenal. And you can remember that from the eight seeding games to all the way through the playoffs. And not just because Miami played very well. So I don't like anybody saying that LeBron didn't earn a real championship because it was the Mickey ring or, you know, the Orlando Le Mickey performance or anything like that. I think that's ridiculous talk. You can complain about a lot of things about what LeBron does, but not that. The Lakers earned their championship despite the fact that they took advantage of a depleted Heat roster, so let's focus on that. But there are some rumors out there about potential trade targets for Miami, and I'll talk about them in the next segment here on Locked On Heat. One thing that isn't a rumor, it's that Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar, because that's absolutely a fact. And let me tell you, I've talked about it before. I'll talk about it again. My wife, she actually wound up taking a couple of Built Bars to her coworkers there because they have some very fit conscious people, and she took the Built Bars over there. They were crazy for them. They couldn't stop raving about it. They had all tried them before, and they were so grateful to her for bringing some of the Built Bars over. And I mean, she's very popular there at work now because they're so good. They're so good for you. That's the whole thing. If you're a health conscious person, you're looking to maintain or lose weight, you want a little treat, they're 100% covered in chocolate. They're all delicious. So many different flavors. You can mix and match them. And that's the best part to me, is that you can get all sorts of flavors and just, you know, get a box of assorted flavors. I think that's phenomenal, is that you can be able to get so many different variations of a great product. And best of all, if you go to builtbar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Who doesn't love a discounted rate there? 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Use your promo code LOCKEDON. Listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd is host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball. He takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. So subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get podcasts. You've probably heard about it by now. A couple Houston Rockets players that seem likely to be on Miami's radar. I'll start off with PJ Tucker because there is a report from none other than ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that Miami is one of the teams looking to poach PJ Tucker from the Houston Rockets. This, according to Wojnarowski on ESPN, transcribed by he was talking about the Lakers and trade talks and things of that sort. It was transcribed by Harrison Fagan, LA reporter. He wrote, "The Lakers have been active. I know they've been making calls about some wing players to see if there's some shooting available out there. Another player they're interested in, PJ Tucker from the Houston Rockets. There's a lot of interest among contenders in Tucker, who's in the last year of his deal. The Miami Heat, who the Lakers play tonight, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, several others. One thing I'm told is that Houston wants back not picks, but a player that they can plug back into their lineup." So very interesting there is that they don't want picks there, which would seem to help Miami. But then the question, of course, becomes what players would Miami be willing to offer in exchange for PJ Tucker? And look, there are the concerns about PJ Tucker struggling a little bit from the field. He's older. Can he continue to contribute at a high level? Can he be the plug-and-play player that Jay Crowder was, where he can help Miami unlock their success from last season? It's possible. I really don't know, because he does not look great for the Rockets this year, but there's also the chance that he could come back to a contender like Miami and all of a sudden become a much better player. Maybe he can understand his role. Maybe he'll love being in Miami so much that it'll all of a sudden unlock a part of him that we haven't seen this season, or that perhaps seems slightly eroded. So that's certainly an issue. So let's forget about whether or not PJ Tucker can play. Let's assume that he's going to be here and at least be a significantly contributing player that can do everything that we expect from him. Play D, switch, shoot the ball from the perimeter, etc. Who do you give up for PJ Tucker? If they want a plug-and-play player, who is that on the Heat roster? I legitimately don't know. I don't know that you want to give up. You're certainly not going to give up Hero. Do you give up Kelly Olynyk? Is he the guy? And I mean, maybe it works in terms of salary, but is Olynyk worse than PJ Tucker? I know a lot of you are already nodding your head saying, hell yeah, he's worse. I don't think he is. I think Olynyk does a lot for this offense because of his playmaking, his passing, his ability to bring the ball up. Tucker is not that. Remember, Jay Crowder wasn't that either. Watching him dribble the ball was nightmarish at times. Maybe I'm overstating Olynyk's importance on this roster. My feeling is that Olynyk is a better player than Tucker. Although Tucker might fit a need that Miami has, which is a switchable defender and a shooter from the perimeter. Just more grit, I guess, if tenacity, whatever you want to call it defensively. If you can pry him free for Kelly Olynyk, I suppose you do it. Olynyk's a free agent, so is Tucker. It's a win-win for both teams, I think. You're not risking anything. Olynyk stretches the floor. He's a tall body. And that brings us to the next player that's on the conversation there, because they could use a center because they're already seemingly done with a DeMarcus Cousins experience. Not necessarily through any fault of his play, but they've made it known to DeMarcus that they plan on going younger, that they're going to lean in fully to Christian Wood and the rest of their roster, and they don't really have a need for him anymore, that they're playing him. They gave him an opportunity, and they're going to let him go. So he seems like it's likely that he'll get waived. Some reports are already linking Miami there. It seems like a no-brainer from the Heat's perspective to potentially bring in a stretch big like DeMarcus. But I don't think he's legitimately a stretch big. I don't think he can shoot as well as we remember him being able to in Sacramento and or in New Orleans. He's just not that type of player. The injuries have taken their toll on his legs and body. And he was as dynamic a player as you could possibly get at the center position. He could shoot. He could pass. He was a big, bullying body. He's none of that now. And it sucks to say that because, you know, I think there was a lot of crap that Boogie got his way for his attitude, for being loud, for being boisterous, for being different than the kind of player I guess we wanted him to be, or so many wanted him to be, because I never really quite felt like that. Like, I had concerns about his attitude and things of that sort, but as far as his overall talent, that was never in question. He's been sapped of all of it. He just does not look like he's a functioning NBA player at this point for long stretches of time. And look, he looks solid against Miami. Credit to him. But that's not sustainable. I don't think that's the player that Miami wants. He's not going to get traded because I don't think there's much value there. It seems likely that he's going to get, waived according to Shams Charania of The Athletic. So That seems likely to be the case. And Miami starts digging around there, and maybe there are other teams like the Lakers or somebody else. From Boogie's perspective, and I mentioned this on Twitter, I don't know that Miami makes a lot of sense. He probably could get more playing time elsewhere. I think he could also get more opportunity elsewhere. And it could also probably be closer to a ring elsewhere. I mean, let's be honest. If I'm choosing between the Nets and the Heat, and my only factor, or the factor that I'm considering most strongly is whether or not I can play for a ring, well, I got to say, it's probably going to be the Nets. I think Miami could beat them. Absolutely. Maybe you could say I don't have the guts or whatever. But right now, given the talent level there and given what his role would be, I think he'd probably make a better fit in Brooklyn than he would in Miami. I don't think he wants to put up with Eric Spoelstra's practices at this stage of his career. Maybe that says something about Boogie more than it does about Miami. But either way, I don't know what his motivation is. Because you would look, well, maybe he joined Houston thinking that Harden was going to be there long term, that he could be part of a playoff contending team, if not necessarily the front runner for the title. Maybe that's the case. But either way, now he has a decision to make. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days if they wind up, in fact, waiving him and whether or not Miami rushes to sign him. It's an interesting move. I don't agree with it. I think they'll look into it. They'll probably ask around and, I guess, run it by Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and see how they feel. But, I mean, if you're taking away minutes from Precious Achiuwa, I mean, I don't know where the value is there. Like, you're so much better as a team with Bam Adebayo. I don't know why you'd look into it. You need somebody that's more along the lines of a wing defender. Your issues are not offensively. They're mostly defensively. I know the offense struggles at times. I know the defense has risen up the rankings there as far as their net rating and everything else. But I still have concerns about this team's ability to defend a number of players. The trap was not evident against the Lakers on Saturday. I'm not sure whether or not they're going to continue to use it on occasion. Maybe it'll get better once you bring Avery Bradley back. And maybe then you think to yourself, Cousins is that offensive boost that you're lacking. So it's possible. I'm curious to see how it all plays out. I'd like him to fit in Miami. I'd like to see him be better in Miami. I just don't see that it's likely either. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you as always for your support.